Creeper Boyfriend by Hashtag Mavin, read by Sandstripe. Michael and Gavin have started dating, and everything is right in Achievement City. That is, until Gavin's confusing behavior throws that completely out the window. Based on a scene in the video, Minecraft Minimations 2. Life is pretty good. I'm living in Achievement City with all of my closest friends, playing games, drinking alcohol, and just having the best time ever. But the best part is that I now have the most perfect boyfriend to top it all off. Well, I don't really know if you can call him perfect. Gavin's still just as annoying as ever, doing things like waking me up in early hours, screaming made-up words at the top of his lungs, and doing things just to annoy all of us. He's recently learned that pouring lava into Jack's house is apparently a lot of fun. Luckily, the only person to be annoyed by this is Jack, and the rest of us all get a good laugh out of it. Other than some teasing remarks, my relationship with him has been going really well. I mean, it's the exact same as before. We both overreact when we think the other's in trouble, we're still always within a few feet of each other, and he still tackles me with hugs all the time. The only difference now is that I don't have to feel guilty or nervous about it. The whole kissing thing is also a big plus. We're still in the early stages of a relationship, where your mind is filled with constant thoughts of them. Whenever Gavin's standing next to me, I always put an arm around his shoulders to hold him close to me, or interlock my fingers with his. Simple and sweet kisses that mean nothing, but everything at the same time. It's slow and sometimes slightly frightening, but also comfortable. But then Gavin started acting weird. After being here with us for 2 whole months, Griffin's going back to Slowmoville. Seeing her leave is always pretty depressing, because we all love her like a sister. Jeff usually takes it the hardest, and spends as much time with her as possible before she leaves. Which you wouldn't think would be possible after seeing how much time they usually spend with her when she's here. But it was a huge change of pace to see Gavin freak out when she said she was leaving. He didn't want her to leave, and even clutched onto her leg like a small child, as if his weight would keep her in place. "Gavin, I'm sorry," she says, guilt evident in her face. "You'll see me again soon. I'm never apart from these idiots for very long." Gavin just looks up at her with a crestfallen face, and for a moment I think he's going to cry. "Just let her go, Gavin." Jeff rolls his eyes and tries to pry his arms from around her leg. "You're just making it harder." "No!" he cries, and tries to hold on to her tighter. But, of course, Jeff is stronger than him, and soon he's holding the boy in a straitjacket hold, as he fights against him relentlessly. "Is he going to be okay? Why is he freaking out like this?" Jack asks, but none of us really know the answer. I've never seen Gavin get so wild. He was totally fine when we left to go home from Griffin all those months ago. I'm actually really worried about him right now, but I know it's best not to interfere because he might actually start crying if I insist on holding him back too. It hurts my heart to see him so frantic and terrified at the thought of her going back home. He needs to learn that just because Griffin's leaving now doesn't mean she's leaving forever. Explaining it to him won't do any good, because we've tried to dumb down the sentences in every possible way. Either he doesn't understand, or he's refusing to accept it as the truth. "You'll see me again, Gavin," she tries to say to him, but he's still struggling. "I'm not going away forever." "Griffin! No!" he yells, still not caring to listen to her reassuring words. She and Jeff share a look of sorrow at his response, so instead of trying to convince him any further, she just presses the kiss to Jeff's lips, and then another to the top of Gavin's head. "Bye, everyone," she says, forcing a smile. "I'll see you again soon." I've never seen Griffin look so torn. Even as she turns around to leave Achievement City, she seems hesitant and nervous to leave Gavin in that state. "Don't worry, we can handle him," Jeffrey assures her, but it's obvious he wants her to stay too. We never want Griffin to leave. There are many advantages to having our little city far away from everybody else, but the biggest disadvantage is Griffin's home being so distant. Usually when she leaves, it's a little sad, but we always know that it won't be long until she's back. Now it hurts even more because of Gavin's refusal to cooperate. Even though Griffin was joking about her and Jeff adopting the creeper boy back when they first met, it seems to have come true. Maybe that's why it hurts a little more, because Gavin considers the two to be like his adopted parents, and he doesn't want to lose one of them. Gavin screams at her name again, and Jeff winces at the volume, and she waves just one last time before she's completely gone from her view. "Should we tie him to a fence post or something until he calms down?" Ray asks sarcastically. I shoot him a look. "No!" "I can make him a hole to stay in," Ryan starts, but I cut him off immediately. "No!" I state once again, turning to glare at him. Gavin quiets down once he sees that Griffin is gone, and he goes limp in Jeff's arms. You okay, buddy? Jeff asks in a tone usually reserved for babies or small animals. It's gonna be okay. You want a piece of chicken? When he lets him go, he expects Gavin to stand up on his own, but he just slumps to the ground in a depressed heap. We all share a look of concern and pity before I go over to kneel down next to him. Gav, I whisper, resting a hand on his shoulder. I hear him sniff a little, and when he looks up at me, the expression on his face forces me to engulf him in a hug immediately. He allows it to happen, relaxing into my arms and simply pouting unhappily at the recent events. He doesn't let out agonizing sobs like he did that night I found out about his creeper family, but I can still feel the depression radiating off of him. I press a kiss to his temple, which succeeds in making him snuggle into my chest more. Think it'll be like this every time we have to leave, Griffin? Ryan asks. I sure as fuck hope not. Jeff scratches the back of his neck while looking down at Gavin and I on the ground. It's difficult enough saying bye to her. Watching Gavin like this just kind of adds to the heartbreak, you know? Jack smirks. And you say you're not fatherly towards Gavin. Shut the hell up. He rolls his eyes and refuses to acknowledge the comment any further. Life continued on after Griffin left. Eventually, Gavin stopped moping around and was back to his old regular self. I'm not sure my attempts to explain Griffin's departure by drawing it in 14 different ways helped or not, but he seems to be doing better. I'm still teaching him more English, and he seems to be getting better at putting sentences together. It's reached the point where almost every single inch of space on his walls is covered in our finger paintings and words. I've started trying to teach him how to read, but he's completely uninterested in learning that. It didn't take that long for him to bounce back from his sad state. He was back to being silly and excitable within a day or two, much to the relief of everybody else. But there was still something slightly off about him. It was about a week after Griffin left that Gavin was glued to my side a little more than usual. Usually we're always close to one another anyways, especially since we started dating. I usually had an arm around his shoulders, he'll be sitting in my lap, or we'll just hold hands every once in a while. Just dumb, cute shit that causes everybody else to tease. But it fills my head with such a soft, warm feeling that I'm willing to put up with it. But now it's like he's kicked that up a notch by 20%. Not that I'm complaining. If Gav wants to be an affectionate little shit, then who am I to stop him, right? We're sitting in his house, wool dye cans scattered around us, and our hands are stained with multiple different colors. Look, I make a smudge on the wall. What color is that? Green. Yeah, I nod. Now what's this? He tilts his head in confusion, and furrows his brow in concentration. Pink. No, it's purple. His shoulders slump into feet, and I smile at him. It's hard to come up with words to teach him. Usually I have to wait until we're in a circumstance, away from learning, where he doesn't understand what something is. Like the other day, when Jeff told me I need to teach him colors, because it's getting difficult to ask him certain things during Let's Play builds. I hadn't even realized I didn't teach him color names yet, and I still feel like an idiot for it now. It's all right, I snicker, finding it cute how annoyed he is at himself for getting it wrong. This is your first day learning colors. You're bound to get some wrong on your first attempt. He looks up at me, his eyes still shining with disappointment, and I smile warmly before giving him a quick peck on the lips. Poor little thing. He's so used to memorizing all of these things right away. It's not very often that I have to correct him. He smiles when I pull away, and I know I have to continue to keep his mind off things that will make him sad. Come on, I dip my fingers into a different bucket, and then smear the walls with it. What color is this? Instead of hearing an answer, I feel something nuzzling me. I look down to see Gavin softly rubbing his cheek against the side of my shoulder. What the hell? I lean away from him a little bit, trying to get him to stop. When he doesn't, I chuckle a little out of amusement, but mainly confusion. What are you doing? He moves away to look at me, his eyes wide with oblivion. Gav? I question. Michael? He responds, before leaning back down to continue rubbing his cheek against me like he's some sort of cat. No, stop. I take hold of his shoulders and hold him almost at arm's length. What is that? What? Let nuzzling against my shoulder thing. What are you doing? It's apparent that he doesn't understand the wording of my question, and I feel guilty once I notice a small amount of disappointment in his eyes. Which sucks because I don't really understand what's happening, so I can't fix it. Gavin? I question again, as though he'll start explaining. His shoulders slump a little, but he recovers within a split second. He smiles at me and kisses my cheek before getting up from his place on the floor. Sleep. I'm almost disoriented by his quick change of mood. Sleep? You want to go to sleep? Yes, he nods, helping me up. Don't really know if I want to leave you alone right now. Are you sure you're okay? He nods slightly, and then pecks me on the lips before going to sit in his bed. I am good. Sleep, Michael. Okay, I respond hesitantly. If you're sure. Good night, Gavin. Good night, Michael. I walk to the door, and before I leave, I throw out an I love you, but he doesn't say it back. It's still really early in the morning when I wake up on my own. This kind of thing doesn't happen very often, and the only reason it's happening now is because Jeff and Gavin are out building the new Let's Play. But when I walk out of my house, I see that they're back. Jeff is chopping wood into planks across the town from me, and Gavin is behind him. He seems cheery and content. Maybe he's forgotten about last night, or has brushed it off. I still don't really understand what's going on, so I'm happy he's back to normal this morning. Jeff! Gavin cries to get his attention. Yeah, bud. Jeff responds lazily, not looking away. Jeff! Yeah, bud. He repeats, as he finally looks away from his work and towards Gavin. He pulls a bone from behind his back, a huge grin on his face as he does so. You want a bone? Jeff's face breaks into a grin once he realizes what Gavin's doing. Easily decides to play along, and crouches down eagerly as though he's a baby wolf. Oh, I want a bone! I want a bone! He cries, and then continues to repeat the words in a less coherent and more playful tone each time. Gavin waves around in Overdrive's head, and they continue to make these weird baby talk noises to one another. And to think, Jeff didn't want Gavin around when they first met. If any of us brought up how close they are now, Jeff would still deny it until he was blue in the face, though. It's honestly the cutest thing ever. I do, Jeff cries, and finally Gavin lowers the bone to his reach. He grabs it and hugs it to his body. They're both giggling like little children at their impossibly stupid game. You're now my train, Jeff, Gavin states. He recently learned in order to get a wolf to be friends, and not attack you during the day, he simply has to give them a bone. Of course, he went completely overboard with this knowledge, and tried to train every single wolf that he came across for a few days. We ended up having to sit down with him and have some kind of intervention-type thing. I snicker at their antics and continue to watch. So, Gavin racks his brain for the right word for a moment, until he finally finds it. Sit! Jeff does, and I hear Ryan laugh from his spot next to his house where he's watching too. Ray and Jack have gone to collect coal, so it's only the four of us in town right now. Good boy, Gavin nods, satisfied. Wait here. He takes a few steps back as though testing to see what Jeff will say. When the man doesn't move, he lets out a laugh. Jeff chuckles along with him from the ground. You're free, Gavin points at him, still smiling wide. Thank you. Phew, Jeff says as he gets up. I thought I was going to be there forever. Gavin giggles, but his head snaps over in my direction when he hears me laugh. Even though he's already grinning, his entire face brightens up even more at the sight of me. I can't describe the feeling I get when he looks at me like that, as though my presence is enough to make his entire day. Michael! He cries, and begins running to me. Hug! This happens so often I'm prepared when he launches himself at me, and wraps his legs and arms around me. It's weird to be so happy. It almost feels like it's unallowed, and that I'm breaking some kind of rule. Is this what Jeff feels like all the time when he's with Griffin? No wonder it's so hard for him when she leaves. If Gavin ever had to leave, I'd probably react the same way Gav did when Griffin left last week. He presses a quick kiss to my lips, and then pulls away to exclaim, Kiss! Okay, asshole. I hear Jeff call out, Leave your little boyfriend alone and come help me with this firewood. Gavin unravels his limbs from around me and pulls me by the arm when he begins to walk back over to Jeff. Even though it's pretty ridiculous, I'm kind of like his trained Michael. It isn't very long until everyone is in the middle of Achievement City, standing on the logo, all fully awake and ready for the day. Jeff's telling everyone what their little duties are today, when we should be done, and how afterwards we can just relax for the rest of the day. We were all busy yesterday doing things, so it's great to be taking it easy. It's nice to start off days like this, just peaceful and quiet. All thoughts of being worried about Gavin's behavior last night have drifted away from my mind. I'm only reminded of it when he begins to do it again. I look at Gavin to see he's once again rubbing the side of his head against my shoulder. I quirk an eyebrow, but before I can stop him, everybody else seems to notice, as well. Dude, what the hell? I hear Ray question while snickering. Gavin, quit it. I state, nudging him a little. He just hisses something in Creeper and continues it. I swear, Gavin, I threaten on you, just smacking him. I will punch you in the face. What's he doing? Jack questions. I shrug. I have no idea. He did it last night, too, and it's getting really annoying. Ryan laughs loudly, and I raise an eyebrow to him. While my attention is focused elsewhere, Gavin goes back to nuzzling against me. That's adorable, Ryan laughs. He's cheeking you. He's whatting me? Cheeking. It's something creepers do, he explains, thoroughly amused by Gavin's actions. When a creeper has a mate, they show their love by rubbing the sides of their faces against one another. Much like he's doing to you. Although the explanation is ridiculous, it makes an incredible amount of sense. There's a beat of silence until everybody bursts into laughter. They all crack up, making stupid mocking noises at the fact that Gavin's being so openly affectionate with me. I roll my eyes, but their laughter is contagious, and even I have to chuckle a little. I have to admit that I feel a swell of pride at that fact, though. Gavin's showing true affection to me in the best way he knows how. I'm sure he's been taught all of his life that this is how you love your partner, and now he's doing it to me. It makes me feel all fuzzy inside. You guys are dicks, I mutter. Once their laughter begins to die down, it doesn't take long for Jeff to jump into a slightly more serious mode. All jokes aside, you've got to stop him doing that. Why? What's the harm? Ray asks, still finding it highly amusing. Because Gavin's not a creeper. He can't keep doing creeper things and thinking it's okay. He needs to do people things. He's right, Ryan points out. It's not healthy for him to continue with his creeper behavior. Well, how am I supposed to stop him? I practically growl, and then shove Gavin away from me. Quit it! He looks at me in confusion, and then hisses something at me in creeper. And I can tell it's to voice his confusion. Without waiting for me to respond, he goes back to nosing my shoulder. No, Gavin! I state, holding his shoulders and looking him directly in the eye. Stop. Everything is quiet as we all wait for his response. I'm expecting him to hiss at me with annoyance and then go back to cheeking. But instead he just nods slightly and backs away a little. My eyes widen when I realize it's actually worked this time. And I look up at the others. That was pretty easy. Or so I thought. For the next few weeks, Gavin continues to try and cheek me. It doesn't matter what we're doing. Sometimes it'll be during a Let's Play, while teaching him English, doing a chore, etc. Some mornings, instead of waking up to him screaming and pounding on my door, I'd feel him nestled into my side, cheeking my shoulder again. It'd always end the same way, me pushing him away and telling him to stop. Whenever Jeff saw it, he'd tell me again that we really need to stop all of Gavin's creeper behaviors. I agree with him. Gavin's aware that he isn't a creeper anymore, but he still acts like one. It's pretty damn annoying, too. Sometimes I'll be out in the woods with one of the guys, and Gavin will jump out and scare us while screaming, BOOM! As though he's an exploding creeper. He gets very easily distracted by anything within a 16-block radius of him. He easily forgets that creepers don't automatically trust him anymore, and always hisses at them in an attempt to have a conversation. And we also discovered he's scared of cats. We came along an ocelot one day, while exploring the jungle, and Gavin immediately started backing away from it. Any attempts to convince him that it's okay did not help in any way. All of these are traits shared with creepers, which is expected. I mean, he grew up and was taught by creepers his entire life. But now that he's living with us, it has to stop. Not only is it an annoyance, but it might end up being a danger one day. He needs to understand that he isn't a creeper, and that he isn't living among them anymore. I'm teaching him English a few weeks later, when the familiar feeling of his cheek rubbing against me comes back. I groan to myself before shoving him away. This has gone on for too long, and it's really irritating. Gavin, I growl, gripping him by the shoulders and looking him straight in the eye. Stop! No more cheeking! Why? He finally responds. I feel relieved that he's finally stopped ignoring my requests about quitting the bad habit. Because cheeking is what creepers do. You and me? I release my grip on him to point between us. We're people. People know cheeking? No, people do not cheek. It's some weird shit creepers do. We aren't creepers, so you have to stop. Oh. His eyebrows furrow together in concentration, and it's only when I notice how understanding it he is that I begin to feel a little guilty for getting so annoyed. It's not his fault, he didn't understand. It's just been frustrating to keep having to repeat myself over and over again while he continues to ignore the information. Do you understand? I question, putting an arm around him as though that will somehow ease my guilt. I understand, he nods, his voice sounding slightly hesitant. Okay, good. I kiss him lightly on the cheek, and when he smiles, I know this whole thing has already blown over. I decided to not focus any more on it. Gavin has been acting pretty weird lately, so this isn't at all strange. Gavin's dumb mate of lingo has already grown on us. Whenever he doesn't know the English word or doesn't know how to pronounce it, he'll just make up his own. Like if we have a bunch of belongings, he'll call those gubbins, Instead of mouth, he says gob. Of course, this leads me to always being frustrated and annoyed with him, while everybody else is laughing uncontrollably. I found the original start point, Ray says while we're in the middle of the Let's Play. Or original start point? Gavin questions, not knowing what the word means. Shut up, Gavin! For fuck's sake, I want to punch your fucking head off! I yell at him, too annoyed with his Let's Play to take pity on his shitty language skills. Michael, why? You're the only one here who doesn't speak English! I stop playing in order to scream at him. It's just you! Jeff's holding his stomach while he laughs from the sidelines. His high-pitched giggles make the other girls join in. Except for me, because I'm still very annoyed at my boyfriend. Gavin falls down and into the water due to his poor footing, and uncontrollable giggling at my anger. And this only succeeds in making Jeff laugh more. Oh, did you gaff? He asks, mocking Gavin's made-up words. Gaff is a place, he exclaims, while pulling himself out of the water. You use gaff for everything, I yell, then begin mocking him in a bad British accent. It's like, oh, I did a gaff. Did you see that gaff? Let's go out and have a gaff. No, he cries. Then Jeff joins in. Oh, he's gaffed again. Oh no, he's gaffed it. You can't have a gaff. Gavin tries to defend his word, but I refuse to actually make sense of his stupid made-up language. You can do whatever you want because you make shit up as you go along. You don't fucking speak real language. You speak Gavin. It sucks. I just won, Ray calls out, and we all turn to see that he's at the end. God fucking damn it! I scream, and everybody else's laughter fills the air. Ray throws roses at all of us in celebration, and everybody cheers jokingly. Come on, Jeff grins. Let's go back to Achievement City and erect the tower in front of Ray's shitty house. Then, if I'm feeling nice, I'll allow you guys to have some drinks from my secret stash. Dibs on water, Ray calls out sarcastically. While leaving the Let's Play area, Gavin bounces around me, trying his hardest to tackle me to the ground or wrap his limbs around me. Even though I'm not actually mad at him anymore, it's fun to see him attempting to get back on my good side. He's been a total asshole to me all day, and judging by that grin on his face, he's extremely proud of that fact. He jumps onto my back, forcing me to give him a piggyback ride. I roll my eyes, but hold onto his legs anyway, bigger than I pretended to be annoyed at him for long enough. You're lucky I love you, I mutter, and he swirls back excitedly. Aw, Michael! Aw, Michael! Everybody else mocks him. A few days later, Gavin's odd behavior begins again. It starts with him coming to my door with an armful of red roses. I crook an eyebrow at the sight, wondering why he'd go through the trouble of picking so many roses when I notice the bloody messes his arms and hands are. Something about seeing Gavin and blood together makes my protective instincts kick into high gear. I take his arms gently, trying to pry them away from the flowers that drop to the ground. There are a few tiny thorns sticking out of the little wounds that are covering his arms and hands. It's like he can't go one day without injuring himself. I swear, he's going to be the death of me one day. Gavin, I scold, are you okay? Yes, I got Michael roses, he cries happily, but then flinches when I pull a thorn out of his arm. Dude, we need to get you patched up. Why the hell did you go pick roses, you bumbling idiot? Ouch, Michael, he cries when I try to take another one out. They're too tiny for my fingers, so we'll need to go over to Ryan's and let him take them out with tweezers. We'll probably need a healing potion, too, so that the cuts don't get infected. Come on, I pull him out of my house so that we can go to Ryan's. But roses! He cries, trying to fight against me so that he can go back and get them. Yeah, I mutter. We'll go bring them to Ray later. Gavin pouts for the rest of the day. About a week after the roses incident, Gavin and I are on iron duty together. We're out digging in a cave together with diamond pickaxes, trying to collect as much as we can. It's not very often we run out of iron, because we always make sure to have stockpiles of it back in town. But it's been a particularly slow day, in regards to chores and jobs, so Gavin and I opted to just go mining, hoping that maybe we come across some diamond if we're lucky. It's only when I turn around, because my pickaxe is broken, that I see that I've been buried inside, that I realize something is wrong. At first, I think it's that Gavin's demined me, which is a game-slash-trick that he and Jeff play on each other sometimes. But when I look up and see that he's staring down at me, from an opening in the top, I realize that he's actually trapped me in a hole. Gavin, what the hell? Edgar! He cries out cheerfully. I'm literally in a hole like Edgar. I'm trapped in a 2x2 hole that's 2 blocks deep. Gavin's grinning down at me with a torch in his hands, and although the whole situation is amusing, I'm too annoyed to laugh. If you don't get me out of this hole right now, I'm going to skin you alive. He just throws his head back and laughs, probably not understanding my threats, but recognizing my expressions well enough to know that I'm annoyed. After a few seconds, he finally relents and mines all of the cobblestone he's placed around me. I let out a chuckle when he launches himself at me in a hug. "Free Michael 2013!" he cries, and that makes me laugh even harder. After pulling away from the hug, he puckers his lips, wanting me to kiss him. But instead, I push away his face with my hand. "Fuck you! You trapped me in a hole!" I smirk. "I'm not kissing you after you trapped me in a hole!" He frowns in annoyance and tries to kiss me himself. I dodge his attempts and he moans unhappily. "That's what you get, asshole!" The next morning, I'm awoken by the familiar pounding on my door. I'm too used to this kind of thing to be annoyed by it anymore, but I'm still incredibly tired when Gavin bursts through the door without waiting for me to say come in. Still not up to code on manners yet. "Michael!" he cries happily, bouncing up and down. I raise an eyebrow when I see that he has two beer bottles in his hand, unopened, and the liquid sloshing around as he jumps. "What the hell are you doing with that?" I question him. "Here!" He holds them out to me, expecting me to take them. "Bev's!" Bev is his made-up word for beer, because he always forgets how to pronounce beverage. Just hearing him say another one of his stupid words makes my annoyance double. "What?" I take them, but only because I fear he'll drop them and make a mess. "Where did you even get these?" "Jess House." My eyes widen. "You stole Jess beer? Do you want to die?" "They're for you." I quirk an eyebrow. "I don't want beer this early in the morning. Are you insane?" "I'm literally not even out of bed yet." His shoulders slump in defeat at me not wanting his gift. "Michael doesn't want Bev's?" he questions quietly. "No." I roll my eyes and get out of bed. "Let's go put these back before Jeff wakes up and kicks her ass." Since Griffin's pastime and job is carving sculptures out of wood, she often requires a lot of it. Seeing as how Jeff is the best goddamn boyfriend in the world, his words not mine, he always goes out of his way to collect different kinds of wood for her. Slowmobile only has one type of wood in its forest, and that's oak. But we have many different kinds of forests surrounding Achievement City. In order for her to get different kinds of wood other than oak, she'd have to travel pretty far from home. Besides being far from us, that's another disadvantage to her living in Slowmobile. Jeff hates when she travels out on her own to get different kinds of wood. Although we all know Griffin can handle herself out there, you never know what could happen. So instead of letting her risk injury and danger, Jeff always has a stockpile of wood for her to take when she leaves. He's been planning on going to visit her next month, and staying there for a few weeks. It's been a long time since it's been just the two of them, and they don't have to worry about taking care of us brats. Bree made a joke that it's like we're giving them a free vacation. Since he wants to get her some acacia wood, we all offer to go with him. It's about an hour walk to get to that forest, and we'll be able to collect more faster with all of us there. "Why wood?" Gavin questions, watching me chop down a tree with an axe. He tagged along mainly because he just loves going on adventures like this, and we can't trust him in Achievement City by himself. He'd probably end up pranking us. We've entered our houses many times to find that he's either dumped lava or planted an entire tree in there, but he still doesn't know how to properly use weapons or tools. I've been busy trying to teach him English, and Jack's been training him how to build houses. He's already learning enough things at once. I think it's okay to wait a little while until we teach him about weaponry. I can't explain to him that we're going to get wood because of Griffin. We still aren't sure if he understands that she's not gone forever. If we mention her name, he might get upset again, and we don't want to deal with that when we're out in the middle of the woods. Jeff wants to give it to somebody, I inform him. Like a present.
Present?
Yeah, I shrug. Something that you give somebody else to show them how much you care about them, I suppose. He nods slowly, thinking over the explanation with a thoughtful expression on his face. After I continue cutting down wood, I see Gavin shuffling around out of the corner of my eye. I don't bother paying attention to it, because he's probably desperate to do anything other than stand around and die of boredom. When I feel him tapping on my shoulder, I turn around to see that he's holding a chunk of wood for me.
Oh, thanks.
I take it and put it with the others. He scrunches up his face in annoyance, and picks it up again, handing it to me with more persistence.
What?
I question. What's wrong with the wood?
Michael's,
he states while pointing at it.
I don't need wood, I say slowly. Maybe you really didn't understand my explanation earlier. We're getting it for Jeff so that he can give it to somebody.
Gavin sighs and rolls his eyes, obviously frustrated. I assume it's because he wasn't able to understand my explanation on the first try. I snicker before dropping the wood back into the pile, and then affectionately ruffle his hair. Don't worry, buddy, I smile at him. You'll get the hang of it eventually.
Instead of waking up to the sound of my boyfriend running into my house like a wild maniac, it's to the sound of screaming. I sit in my bed, immediately awake and alert, once I recognize the voice as Gavin's. No! He's screeching at the top of his lungs. Stop! I throw the blankets off me and run out of my house, not even thinking clearly enough to take my diamond sword in case Gavin's in serious trouble. But instead of seeing him being attacked by a zombie or something of the sort, I see Jack roughly dragging Gavin towards Kung Fu House. He's struggling against him, trying as hard as to fight back and escape his grasp. No, I don't want to be Edgar! Stop! Let go! He continues to cry out. When he catches sight of me, he goes even crazier. Michael! Help! What the fuck is going on? I shout as I run over to them. Jack releases Gavin, and the boy falls from his arms. He runs into my arms immediately, still whining pitifully. I look up to glare at Jack, his intentions still unknown. Although I think of him as a big brother, and I trust him with my life, it's kind of suspicious when you're woken by the sounds of your boyfriend screaming as he's forcibly dragged around town. Jack puts his hands up and mocks surrender. I wasn't actually going to put him in Edgar's hole, I swear. No need to go Mogar on me. What happened? I woke up to find him stealing diamond from my house, Jack explains, but there's no hint of annoyance in his eyes. Stealing? You were stealing? I glare at him. His eyes widen in panic. No! He shakes his head quickly. What the hell did you need diamond for? I question. We have plenty of diamond tools and armor. If he needed something, he could have just taken that. Plus, he doesn't even know how to craft things on his own. Diamond for Michael! I groan, realizing that this is another one of his stupid attempts to give me a pointless and unneeded gift. I don't want diamond! Why are you constantly trying to give me things? He pouts unhappily before moving his arms from around me. Before I can grab his arm, he jumps away from me. I call out after him as he sprints towards his house, not giving us any reason as to why he was stealing from Jack. You want to go see if he's okay? Nah, I shrug. It's still early. He'll be over by the time I wake up again. He wasn't. This time, instead of waking up to Gavin screaming or excitable morning attitude, I'm awoken by Jeff stomping into my house with a murderous look on his face. What did you do to Gavin? He demands. My eyes widen in fear, and I think for a moment that he might pull a diamond sword from behind his back and attack me. What? Nothing! I jump up from my seat when I register his question. Wait, why? Is something wrong with him? He won't stop moping around. It's fucking depressing. He won't talk to me. He's just ignoring everyone and refusing to leave his house. Wait, what? Why? How the fuck should I know? That's why I came here to ask you. So go fucking fix the kid before I shove a pickaxe up your ass. And you say you don't care about him. I mutter. Just go fucking fix your boyfriend, Dickweed. Jeff states before leaving, slamming the door behind him. He and Garrett have been hanging out a lot lately. Every second that he isn't with me, he's spending it with Jeff. Following him around, helping him, and saying dumb jokes make him laugh. I don't know how he's done it, but it's almost like Gavin's warmed his way into Jeff's heart. Not like that's a difficult thing to do, but it seemed pretty unlikely when the two first met. So it's weird that he's spending the day inside of his house, ignoring Jeff when normally he'd jump at the chance to hang out with him. Is he really upset from this morning? Nobody actually got mad at him. All I did was ask him if he was stealing diamond. Gavin never gets upset over somebody yelling at him. I've yelled at him way louder and harsher before, and he's always just laughed it off. I feel guilty at just the thought of doing something that's upset my boy. But as much as I rack my brain, I can't think of anything that I've done wrong. I've been treating him the same way as I always do. There's no denying that Gavin's been acting really weird lately. His odd behavior's really starting to piss me off. Is this some kind of creeper thing that I'm not aware of? Who knew having a boyfriend raised by creepers could be so much work? Obviously Gavin is upset by something, and it's up to me to fix it. As much as I'd like to deny it, he's worth the trouble. I promised myself all those months ago that I'd never let him frown again. That he'd never have a reason to be sad or upset. I'm pretty shitty at keeping my promises, apparently. Even though I have no idea what I've done to break it. Something is up. And I know if I go to him to find out, nothing good will come of it. I need to go to better sources of information. One that actually knows English and has an extensive knowledge on pretty much everything. Ryan! I demand as I stomp into his house, throwing the door open so harshly that it slammed into the wall. He raises an eyebrow as he stares at me from his book. Come in? I completely ignore any thought to be polite. You know a lot of shit about creepers, right? I know a lot of shit about everything. I roll my eyes. Then help me! What the hell is going on with Gavin, and how the fuck do I make him stop? He sighs and closes his book, almost as though he was expecting me to come and ask him this. I have a theory. Which is? Ryan's the smartest in Achievement City. We all have our negatives and positives, and his biggest positive is his brain. The negative is that he's incredibly creepy at times, and buries woodland creatures into holes in his spare time. Even as I'm standing in his house, I'm trying to avoid stepping onto the glass floor containing Edgar, and not make any contact with his prison. But I think of him just as much as a big brother as I do Jack and Jeff. There's no surprise that he already has theories on Gavin's behavior, and I'd be a fool not to believe them. The whole cheeking thing, that's how creepers work. That's how they show affection. It represents that they want to stay together and not go on to a different mate. But if they do it, and the other creeper rejects them, then that means that they aren't interested in them romantically. So when you told Gavin to stop, I assume he became worried that you weren't interested in him anymore. But I am! I know, but then you told him that cheeking is a creeper thing, that he couldn't do it because you and he weren't creepers. So he was probably desperate to find the human equivalent to that before you lost interest in him entirely. Realization and guilt begin to creep up my spine. God damn it, I fucked up. So all of the gifts and stuff? He sighs once again, and this whole situation reminds me of how smart Ryan really is. He's the best at observing things, and I was right to come to him for advice. You have to understand that Gavin's never been around people before us. He was raised to act and be like a creeper. But why would he be doing these things? He doesn't know any normal human customs, so when he sees us doing dumb, affectionate things for one another, he doesn't understand that it's just a joke. Ray showers us with roses when there's a game won. Jeff shares his beer when he's feeling generous. He collects wood to bring to Griffin. I bury shit in holes. It's just how we operate around here. So me rejecting all of that and getting annoyed at him probably made him think that you don't like him anymore. Well, fuck. Hey, Gabby. I knock on his door loudly. After leaving Ryan's house, I bolted straight over to Gavin's house. No wonder he's been so upset and timid lately. I brushed off every single attempt to confirm our relationship, and now he thinks I hate him. I'm probably the biggest idiot in the world. When one dates a boy that was raised by creepers, there should be a handbook given to you or something. It would sure make things a hell of a lot easier. There's no response, which isn't exactly a good sign. I close my eyes and rest my head against the door, before finally just walking in. Gavin's sitting on his bed, arms wrapped around his knees that are pulled against his chest, and his back leaning against the wall. He looks up as I enter, but as soon as he meets my gaze, he looks away with red cheeks. Hi, Gavin. I close the door, wincing a little when it shuts too hard. His shoulders slump just a little more, and he becomes very intrigued by a spot on the floor, much preferring to look at that than me. Can I talk to you? I ask quietly, sitting on the corner of his bed. He nods a little, and the look on his face seems to be the guilt that's eating me alive. It's quiet for a few moments, and I know I should talk, but I'm too busy trying to figure out what's going on in Gavin's head. Does he really think that I don't want him anymore? Gavin, you know I love you, right? He finally looks me in the eyes, but they shine bright with disbelief and heartbreak. I can't take it anymore and scoop him up into my arms. He doesn't fight against it much, and just relaxes his head to my chest. He's so feeble, as though this doubt is actually affecting his health in some way. I kiss the top of his head. Because I do. I love you, Gavin. It sucks having to actually remind him, but I don't like the fact that he no longer believes me when I say it. I love you. He moves away from my chest to look at me in the eyes. I love you. I know you do. We both love each other, all right? No. I sigh. Gavin, you have to believe me. I didn't know what you were doing. That apparently does not succeed in reassuring him. He starts hissing and creeper, and I don't bother to correct him to say that I don't understand. I just let him get it all out before he eventually switches back to English. Michael hates cheeking. Michael hates roses. Michael hates wood. Michael hates Bevs. Michael hates diamond. Michael hates all! He cries, looking down and away from me once again. Shh, I try to soothe him, feeling like I'm currently taking care of a small child instead of my boyfriend. It's okay. No, not okay! He shakes his head. I want Michael to stay. Stay with Gavin. I'm not going anywhere, I reassure, trying to pull him closer to me, but he fights against my grip so that he can look me in the eyes. I can see the desperation within them. Griffin's gone, he cries out, his face scrunched up in pain. She's gone, and Jeff's alone. I don't want Michael gone. then it's all pieced together. That's why Gavin was so upset about Griffin leaving. We were right about him thinking she was never coming back. But he was also scared that she left because she didn't like us anymore. He thought she wasn't happy with Jeff and the rest of us, and so she decided to go on to find a new partner. That's why he's been hanging out with Jeff so much, because he thinks he's totally heartbroken over Griffin's departure. That's why he's so desperate to prove his love to me, because he doesn't want me to go away like Griffin and leave him all alone. And that's why he's so distressed now, because he thinks my rejection of his gifts was my refusal to continue seeing him. I feel like such an ass. Shh, I whisper again. When I see his eyes watering, I pull him close to me so that I can bury my face into his hair. Nobody left. I'm not going to leave. Everything is okay, I promise. Griffin? I suppose all the explaining I did to him before was useless. He was so set on thinking that Griffin was leaving forever that he just completely disregarded any explanation telling him otherwise. She's gone home. She's going to come back to visit. Maybe we'll even go visit her ourselves. Jeff still loves Griffin, and Griffin still loves Jeff. They just live far away from one another. He sniffles a little, and uses my sleeve to wipe his runny eyes and nose. I wince a little in disgust at that, but don't end up saying anything to stop him. Gavin's wiped worse things on my sleeve, after all. Really? Yeah. Michael, stay? Of course I'm staying. No leave? If I did leave, you'd be coming with me. I smile and kiss the tip of his nose. As if I could ever leave my creeper boy behind. He giggles at the name, and thinks over my words for a few moments, until he finally nods. Okay. Relief washes through me as soon as he says that word. Thank God, I murmur. He smiles and kisses me on the nose back. But no more gifts, okay? I almost had a heart attack when I heard you screaming this morning. You scared the shit out of me. Okay, he nods, seeming to understand. Cheeking? I groan in annoyance. Of course he feels compelled to show his love to me in some kind of way. Although I originally found it annoying, I must admit that I now understand the feeling behind it. When he snuggles his face against my shoulder, it isn't to be a pest. It's to present that love in a way without words. Jeff won't be happy if he sees Gavin acting like a creeper, but I've already put my boy through enough. What's the harm in letting him have one thing that can be shared between the two of us? Just because cheating is a creeper thing doesn't mean it can't be a Michael and Gavin thing, too. Okay, fine, I relent, but only when we're alone. Jeff's going to kick my ass if he sees you doing it. He squeals loudly and happily before excitedly hissing something. I'm practically thrown him back against the bed when he wraps his arms around me and hugs me so close that I think I'm going to choke. Okay, Gavin, I get it, I chuckle. No need to deprive me of oxygen. He doesn't even pay attention and just begins to snuggle his face against my shoulder, already taking advantage of the cheeking exception. I smile, no longer feeling annoyance towards the action. He's just trying to show how much he loves me. I can't believe I was so stupid and tried to stop him. It's no wonder why he thought I was rejecting him. I still can't swallow the guilt burrowed deep inside me. I'm sorry for making you worry, I say quietly, and he stops his nuzzling to look at me curiously. I'm stupid, okay? He shakes his head quietly. Not stupid. Yes, I am. I'm stupid because I made you feel unloved. That was stupid. But Michael's not stupid. He states again, nodding his head in an all-business fashion. I smile. Oh yeah? Then what is Michael? Michael's lovely. He smiles, kissing me on the cheek. I roll my eyes at the term, but decide to play along. You're lovely, too. He grins, but is interrupted by an adorable yawn, and he's forced to rub his fist against his eyes. His eyes look more dreary and tired when he opens them again. Sleep? Yeah, of course. And I'm about to get off the bed when he latches his arms around me. I raise an eyebrow at him, but he just gives me a pleading look. It's so easy to read his facial expressions at this point. Is this how all couples feel around one another? The overwhelming desire to protect and be near each other all the time? If not, I feel bad for everybody else out there for not getting to experience this, because life must have been so boring for me before I met Gavin all those months ago. Fine, I pretend to act annoyed. We can have a sleepover. He claps excitedly and burrows down into his blankets. I love you, Gav, I murmur, as I lay down next to him on the bed. He smiles and snuggles closer to me, humming contentedly at my words. I love you, he whispers, and we don't speak anymore throughout the night. Gavin affectionately rubs his cheek against my shoulder, so softly I can barely feel it, until exhaustion overtakes him and he falls asleep. It's nice to see him so relaxed again, especially after all the stress and worry he's been put through lately. I chuckle at myself before pressing a soft kiss to his forehead, then nuzzle my face into his shoulder, letting myself fall asleep there. Life is still pretty good. You just finished listening to Creepy Boyfriend by #Mavin. If you enjoyed the story, please leave her some feedback at archiveofourown.org/work/1026779. And if you enjoyed my reading of the story, please leave me some feedback at archiveofourown.org/work/2076297. And finally, Pog Freaking Notes. Hello again! I'm finishing the Creepy Boy series, because it was one of my first ones, and it's... Actually, I think it's my most popular podfic at the moment. And I figured, yeah, let's do the sequel. This is probably one of my favorite fics in this... in the Minecraft, like, AU for Mavin, because it's just... it's such a sweet story. It's like, Gavin spends this whole thing trying to convince Michael that he's still in love with him, and Michael's just like, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you doing this? Why? Ryan, help. And that's another thing that I don't, like, there's one little thing I don't understand, probably because Ryan's trying to be annoying, because Ryan does stuff like that sometimes, because he thinks it's funny, and it is funny, but, like, Ryan already has already figured out everything. Like, Michael has talked to him, and Ryan's like, yeah, I know what your problem is, here's what you need to do, and it's like, it takes him no time to figure this out at all, so that implies to me that he's figured it out a long time ago, and just has watched this deteriorate, and I think he's probably been quietly laughing to Edgar about this the entire time. That's my new headcanon, I just figured this out. So, it's just like, Ryan, why? Ryan, go help. So. But, I mean, this is still so sweet, and it's just like, aww. Like, the end scene is so cute. It's like, they're gonna sleep together. Well, I think at the very end there, that Michael actually nuzzles, like, cheeks Gavin back after Gavin's fallen asleep, but that's... if that's what that is, that's really, really sweet. And it's like, ah. Anyway. I hope you enjoyed me reading it. Because it's been a while since I've done an actual, like, full-length podfic. Because my computer was dumb and needed to be repaired. So I finally have it back. But it's been, like 3 months after I've recorded anything with a good fan. So hopefully I sound okay. It's been a while since I've talked for this long. So I'm going to stop babbling now and say cheers and thank you for listening.